Hello and welcome to Lush. You're listening to Origins, the programme that asks musicians, artists and creators where and how it all began, how it evolved and where it's at. Sophie Porter recently visited Norwich to meet Maria Uzor and Gemma Cullingford of English post-punk dance band Sink Your Teeth.
And when was the moment, or what was kind of the defining moment that you decided, I really want to learn an instrument, or I want to pursue kind of music as something that, I don't know, you do in your spare time, or something that you want to do?
Mine was watching Glastonbury on TV, and I just remember seeing, I think I was watching The Levellers on it.
Oh, no.
I know. And I thought, I want to. I thought, I want to do, that's what I want to do. I want to stand on a stage and do that. And apparently I told my careers advisor at school that's what I wanted to do. And she said that it wasn't possible. And my mum was like, no, yes, it is. Of course it is. And so I've just always, kind of pursued it. I think that was my moment that I can kind of pinpoint.
For me, it was my earliest sort of like memory of being into music and wanting to do it was probably when I was about 4 years old, and my grandmother said to me, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, oh, I want a guitar. And she said, okay. And so, like, on Christmas Day, I unpackaged this thing expecting to get like this big acoustic guitar, and instead I got like this little toy plastic one like that with about 3 or 4 strings, and you couldn't tune it, and it was just this awful child's thing. And I just remember being like really gutted that I didn't get like a proper instrument. But I don't know, it's something that I've always wanted. I just remember like being at school as well and just flouncing around, like doing all this Mick Jagger shit and stuff.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Thinking like, I don't know, like, well, yeah, making a real fool out of myself. But yeah, it's just something I've always wanted to do.
And did you both feel encouraged to, when, you know, you're obviously taking interest in music?
I was really supported and encouraged, yeah.
Because
my parents were musical, but from, you know, like doing trumpets and playing in brass bands. But they always, considering they're scientists, they and they weren't in bands themselves apart from brass bands, or wanted to make a career out of music. They were really supportive. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah,
I think I sort of it was always kind of like a quiet desire for me. I came from a family, Caribbean family, where it was kind of, we were sort of pushed more towards things like, you know, being a doctor or being a lawyer or something like that. I had a bit of a creative streak, so my mum sort of like, and I liked writing, so my mum sort of like encouraged me to be a journalist and sort of pushed me in that sort of direction. And so I never really sort of thought that music was a viable option, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never really sort of, it was always something that in deep down I was just, oh God, it'd be so cool to do that, but that's just what other people do. You know? But then I, just bit the bullet one day and just decided to do it and love it.
in which case that leads on nicely. I mean, what came before Sink Your Teeth?
Immediately before Sink Your Teeth, I was a solo artist called Gun the Thunderbolt, and I was doing that for about 8 years, I think. And sometimes I'd be solo, sometimes I'd play the loop pedal, sometimes I'd have a full band. And the final incarnation was a full band, which lasted for about 6 months. And I had a bass player called Ian O'Brien. I was looking for a guitarist, and he said, oh, I know this girl called Gemma, she's really cool, she'd be really good. So, I got Gemma in the band, and and we really hit it off. And then the bassist went off travelling, the band broke apart because the drummer was like in about 10 other bands as well. And Gemma said, do you want to like just do something with just the two of us? And we decided.
In this pub, we were sat outside, weren't we?
Oh, well, I don't know, we were always in this pub.
I had a brief introduction to your history of this pub, which is really lovely, so I feel very honoured that we're doing this interview here as well.
Yeah, we were sat on that bench out there, and it was a sunny day, and then we decided to form a band, together.
That's really cool.
But Gemma's got more of a musical legacy than I do.
I was
a bit further.
Yeah, early noughties, I was in a band called Cato, and We had a couple of albums out and signed to a Mute subsidiary called Blast First, and I was in that for about 8 years.
Oh wow, so what's it like then for both of you coming from full band backgrounds now performing as a duo?
it's easier to organise gigs, but more shit to carry around to those gigs.
Yeah.
That seems probably.
I think, yeah, it's nice, yeah, because it's just us two, so we bounce off each other, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's good.
I suppose communication is much easier.
Yeah, it really is.
And as we were chatting about, you've got quite sort of, I suppose your musical influences and taste have like some crossovers, but you were saying that you've kind of got all the things that you like, maybe you don't like, or it's like not so much that, but it's quite eclectic. So how did you initially kind of start to bounce ideas from each other?
We just decided we wanted to do a dance band.
Yeah, and...
I'm not sure if you were at the time, but I was obsessed with the 80s. So it's just kind of like, dance music from the 80s.
I didn't used to like that kind of music until recently. Because I used to find it a little bit kind of, I don't know, I always felt uncomfortable with it. But I've been listening to more of it now and with different ears and as a different person to when I was a lot younger listening to it. And I love it now.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm discovering a lot of it for the first time again, because in the 80s I wrote a lot of it off, but I'm loving hearing it and discovering it now.
Yeah, and I suppose like putting your own stamp on it.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Being able to play with something I think is always quite exciting.
Mm. And when you've got loads of influences, you can't just write something that sounds purely as though it came out of the 80s. I mean, the album is inspired by the 80s, but there's so many other influences in there and ideas that are nicked from other people who weren't around in the 80s, may have been around a lot earlier or a lot later. Inspired.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably influenced by bands that were influenced by the 80s. So, I mean, it probably all comes from the same place, but I'm not directly or wasn't directly influenced by that, but probably bands that were influenced by it. Yeah. So.
And can you tell us about some of those bands that, specifically with this album, that maybe you took great influence from?
Well, I took a lot of influence by this kind of early naughty stuff, like LCD Sound System and people like that, who did copy, if you like, bits from the 80s and late 70s. But I love New Order now, but that was since writing the album. Everyone was comparing us to all these bands, and we'd already written the album, you know, and they'd listen to it, and then I'd go off and listen to these bands, and they'd talk about, oh yeah, they do sound a little bit like them, but not. It wasn't meant to be, you know, that inspired from my point of view, anyway.
I like that whole sort of, I really love the New York early 80s scene, and Chicago House as well, and people like Frankie Knuckles, and that kind of like minimal electro scene that came out, you know, the birth of hip-hop and stuff, and so I think that was kind of that early electro sparseness with 808s and 909 drum machines, and yeah, that, do you know what I mean? That kind of sparse disco thing that came out of sort of the black culture and gay culture and all that sort of stuff, that's kind of where my head was for most of the album, but then sort of drawing influences from elsewhere as well.
And what was the process of writing the album? I'm really curious because I come from like a full band kind of background. And
oh, you're
like,
in the band?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. What sort of stuff did you
play? We played quite sort of, I like to say like snotty sort of indie punk, maybe like a little Arch of the Loaf kind of style. Like Arch of the Loaf, Pixies maybe.
Oh, right. I love Pixies.
Yeah.
See, that's another fucking band that I loved.
Pixies,
around the same time I got into Smiths, I got into Dolittle, and really hugely influential. Frank Black is his vocal style I fucking love as well. He's one of my favourite vocalists, but I completely forgot about him. And I never mentioned Pixies in an interview either.
Stay all day if you want to.
So I'm really curious about the process of how, as a duo, you write these like electro kind of bangers, because they're great.
But it's funny, really, when we first started, so we had our meeting outside, and it was then the summer, probably July and August, and I think we might have met up once, but we wrote about 13 songs.
Wow.
It's file sharing. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, Maria would send me a drum track, I'd add some bass, send it back, and we did it that kind of way.
That's
and
so
we just
cool.
got loads out, didn't we? Mm. Just seeing what our style was, really. Mm. But
finding our voice, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some songs that are really different to the album that we haven't sort of like played live or shared for ages, I think.
Yeah, so I think I started off playing guitar, didn't I, as well? So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and then I got the octave pedal and thought I'll go back to bass, because bass is my it's my security blanket.
and how as well, like, just, obviously you played solo prior to this band, but what's it like in terms of live performance, obviously coming from a full band, because I really like the security of there being multiple people for everyone to watch, but what how do you feel when you're doing your live performances, just the two of you? Is it quite liberating?
I feel surprisingly good, like, because I'm not, I don't consider myself a natural performer or that comfortable with it at all, but because I've got my bass on, which is like my, feels like my voice or my weapon, I feel really comfortable just behind the bass, but, and also like, I enjoy watching what Maria does because she's a brilliant performer, and that allows me to step back a little bit and let her take the limelight, which is great. Thank you, Maria.
Oh, that's so lovely. But because I mean, like in your music videos, like I've watched like tons of them, because I feel pretty bad that I've never been able to see you prior to this, like perform live prior to this. So I was watching your music videos, and you've got great chemistry. Like you both look really formidable and like really fierce out there. Like it looks great. But those, I really like those videos. Like some of the, who makes them? Do you both like kind of come up with the ideas and make them your?
Sometimes for the first one and the last one, we use the same friend, like an old friend, called Jo Millington. She directed both of those, and then. Another
it's been
friend.
All friends, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
your friends, yeah.
We shot Pushing ourselves.
Oh, yeah, Pushing was.
Oh, and my boyfriend's like helped camera a bit. But it was.
We came up with the entire idea for that as well, didn't
yeah.
we? Yeah,
yeah,
so.
We shot and edited that.
A little bit. I mean, they cost so much money, you have to do it a lot
definitely.
Yourself. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's like if you see me, the first video, it's like we edited that ourselves, didn't we? But it was shot by someone else.
That's amazing. Yeah. So we were chatting briefly before you arrived earlier about. Kind of how you, the excitement of putting out your own releases and kind of not having a manager, and obviously there's a lot of post-punk influence in your music. Would you say the kind of the DIY sort of do-it-yourself ethic is quite important in what you do, or have you ever
it's
thought
about necessary.
That?
It's just necessary. Yeah, I think it is just necessary, and I think as well, like if you're into art in inverted commas, like whether that's music or writing or drawing or painting or photography, then you're kind of interested in all aspects of self-expression anyway. So it's so on one hand it is necessary, but on the other hand it's you want to, because it's just another way of expressing who you are, using a different voice to say the same thing.
Yeah, so I was saying about the way we have to do business is also quite creative, isn't it? And
yeah.
instinctual. And
yeah.
we work, because it's just the two of us and we do communicate really well, we work at quite a fast pace.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know how we'd be able to handle it if we had a manager, but
yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
we need somebody else. But then we're like, well, we'd have been waiting for them to make a decision by now, and we just do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think when it's your craft and your art, you kind of know it better than anyone else.
Yeah, and it's your baby. I mean, you know, we care so much about it that it's, you know...
It'd be like getting a nanny, wouldn't it? It's like having a baby and then just like getting a nanny and...
And giving it over and saying you do what you like with it.
This
yeah.
brat.
Sorry. We love children.
That's great. So yeah, you also just came back from a tour.
It's still on tour. Yeah. But
nice.
I mean, we're back at home for a short break, but it's all part of one big tour. Yeah.
Nice. How's that going?
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
really good.
It was getting like seemed to progress, and each gig seem to get better and better, and it's, yeah. Some of them are just like dream gigs, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's smiling and dancing and having a connection with the audience. It's been brilliant.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to headline and do our full set and with our, all of our equipment, rather than, you know, having to strip it down and get off stage quickly for the main band. People being there to see us, it's lovely.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I love it.
I've just noticed I've got an empty glass.
Oh, you can. I can pause this and you
can
get another drink.
Can you?
Yeah,
okay?
Of course, not a problem.
I'm really tired, so I'm just like, thinking like a beer might wake me up.
Hydrated.
Or dehydrated.
Dehydrating yourselves. Yeah.
I thought this would be a nice thing to talk about. I'd love to talk a little bit about the Norwich music scene with you both, just because it's the first time I've been able to interview a Norwich band for Lush. And also, like I say, we both seem to play in like different scenes, so I'd love to hear about your kind of experiences of the Norwich music scene and kind of, I don't know, how it's nurtured you both in your music.
I think there's... I think Norwich scene is really good. There's some good bands here, some really supportive organisations as well. Namely. Norwich Arts Centre.
Yes.
Being really supportive of bands. Really, really supportive. Pascoe and crew. Rosie, who used to be here, but is no longer here in Graceland. Well, she's not in Graceland. She's in the band Graceland, but she's not in Nashville, wherever.
The Arts Centre gave me my first gig when I was 14.
Yeah.
Oh. And yeah, they're still supporting us to this day. And
they're
a brilliant team. Yeah. Sonic Youth, I was talking to Annie Catwoman the other day.
Really
helpful. So she helps put on, is it 16 to 19 year olds in bands?
14 to 19.
14 to 19. Mm-hmm. Which is a great opportunity for people to start out. There's also access to music here. We both went on that, didn't we?
But in terms of bands, there's like some really good bands, like Birds of Hell. I really like. I don't know if you've ever seen him.
He's
like a solo artist, but he also plays with a band sometimes as well. And he's got some really interesting. Kind of like quite edgy songs, like cross between
Sleaford Mods
and like Moon Landings or something. I don't know.
Nice.
Just like, but he's really, I really like what he's doing. And Vanity Fairy, I don't know if you've heard of.
No, I'm not.
She's really good as well. She's she used to be Daisy Victoria. Do you know Daisy Victoria?
I know the name, but
she's really good. She's kind of like, everyone says Kate Bush, but it's kind of like, she does sound a bit like Kate Bush, but she has her own thing as well. And it kind of, her brother produces a lot of her stuff as well with her, and he's got a kind of Prince style, so it kind of sounds like Prince fronted by Kate Bush, and she's really like this flamboyant creature with, you know, who's just has this amazing stage presence as well. So she's one to look out for, I'd say. And Fresh Flowers are really good. They're like a three piece at the moment, two sisters. And a really good drummer, this guy called Ben Wynn, who plays drums. Peach Club, really like as well.
They've got a good attitude, and good work ethic, and
great
energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
quite like Mega Emotion as well. Yeah. Have you heard of them?
Heard of them.
I don't go out and see enough bands, though. I'm really terrible at, like, I'm a bit of a recluse in that sense. But I see bands that we play with, obviously, but I do need to get out more and see more local bands, definitely.
Oh, and Acecita. Acecita? Never know how to pronounce her name. But she opened for us and played at the... Hang on, conversation going. yeah, she played for us when we played at the Arts Centre, opened for us, and she's really good. Want to look out for a solo kind of, I don't know, just beats and vocals.
Yeah. And she produces all her own stuff, doesn't she?
Yeah.
That's great.
Like a bedroom producer.
Yeah.
Nice. So what have your highlights been in your journey as Sinky Teeth for you both?
Maidvale session for me. Yeah, Maidvale session was great.
And being played on the Mac for the first time was probably like
yeah.
That was pretty amazing. You can't beat the first time, can you? So,
well, I don't know. Oh no, I was going to talk about something else.
Hey.
Sorry.
Or maybe it just gets better with time. I don't know.
Definitely beat that.
Some of the gigs last week might end up being, you know how sometimes you have to have a bit of time go past to realise what was great, but the Norwich Arts Centre album launch was a pretty cool
yeah,
gig
yeah,
as
that
well.
Was good. We had lasers.
Yeah.
Lasers.
And we had like a pretty much full house and it just felt like there's a lot of love in the room and that was
yeah,
really nice.
Yeah.
And we got to play our kind of dream set at the time, you know.
Paradiso at the weekend was good.
That was brilliant. There's been a few and playing with Chick. Some of those gigs were brilliant, and A Certain Ratio have been dreams. They're just so lovely and so fun to watch as well. And I wish I could say playing with Gang of Four because that's one of my favourite ever bands. But every time I talk about it, I start crying
because they
were really disappointed.
Oh no, there's nothing worse.
So that's if you want the highs and lows, that was probably my lowest.
Oh,
I hope you don't hear that. But yeah.
So like what you both talking about it, you're just absolutely beaming as you talk about those highs. Is this something that you never thought when you kind of started out this outfit? Did you ever think that you would get to experience?
Not in a million years. We didn't create it for that. Because I've been doing like Gun Thunderbolt for 8 years and never got anywhere, and I'd sort of given up trying to get anywhere like about 3 years into Girl in the Thunderbolt, and it was just something that I did for fun and had a day job and blah blah blah. And then me and Gemma formed this band, and it was just for me, it was just kind of like, yeah, let's just have fun and just play some gigs because I have this desire to just write music, create music.
I knew that stuff like that. Well, not new, but I knew it was possible because of Maria and knowing how her songwriting and stuff like that, I knew that it could be that possible, and that's what kind of drove me, I think. And I wanted to do it. I wanted to not just play Norwich all the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course. But you kind of like you just kind of think
you don't expect that, you don't
no,
expect
no,
it, but
yeah.
You, to work for it is the fun. Like we were talking about earlier about how it's great to have to strive for something and struggle a little bit and play the game and work it all out and that's the fun bit. It's the journey, not the I'm sure like well getting there has been fun too, but if we got really big
I don't think
it'd be fun anymore. So this is a great level to be and still strive, but we're having fun and still getting these kind of dream gigs
for me.
Depends on your dream.
Yeah, definitely. I think that is like really interesting because I think when you're younger, a lot of people who love music, they think, oh, I just want to be on tour all the time, or I want to be like this big rock star.
Well, I wanted to be like the Levellers at Glastonbury,
didn't I?
I have to say, the Beastie Boys are on that same bill, and I watched them and Blair, and I felt the same, but for some reason, the Levellers stood out.
Well. They were a good band.
That is what needs some time yet again. Looks at his watch, he's on time yet again. He's placed
pleasing himself. He's pleasing himself. So pleasing himself. Oh, he's pleasing himself. He's pleasing himself. He's so pleasing himself. Oh,
actually start to do it, you realise that your kind of your priorities change when you play music. Would you agree? Kind of.
What do you mean?
Kind of like I say when you're young, like I want to be on tour all the time, or I want to be a big rock star playing. I want to be the levelers at Glastonbury. But I think
or Blair or Beastie Boys.
But when you kind of start playing shows, I think as you were saying previously, like this is a good level. I think you're kind of the longer you do it, you're actually. You figure out that sometimes
you forget that it's taken that band. I mean, it probably did happen quicker for them in those days to get to that level, but you forget all the hard work that's gone into getting to that level, and actually and it's not just overnight for anybody, but you're sitting there going, I want to do that like tomorrow, but actually you've got to go through a lot and lot of hard work and make mistakes and everything to get there, and by the time you're there you might be a little bit jaded.
Yeah. I remember playing a gig when I just started out and doing Girl in the Fan Spot with or might be a couple of years into it with Ed Sheeran in Norwich at a venue called Bedford, and this was before he'd sort of like got anywhere, and he was just sort of like people knew him around these parts, but he wasn't like a household name or anything by any stretch of the imagination. And he'd been doing it for 7 years. And I remember like having a conversation with him afterwards, and he was just kind of like, I'm really tired. I'm like living out of bin bags, sleeping on friends' couches in London. And it's just like, you know, I might pack it in, but I'm going to go to America and do some open mic nights. And it's just like, oh, right. And he said, yeah, and if nothing comes of that, then I'm just going to like pack it in. And then apparently he, it was when he went to America and did these open mic nights that he, was it like Jamie Foxx's producer was in the audience? And like from that he's just like become this like huge, you know, like
unbelievable.
One of the most biggest, you know, stars in the world. And I wouldn't want that level of what he's got anyway, but it's just interesting that, you know, sort of like have a conversation with someone and just think that they're that close. It's like packing it in, and then they decide to just give it one more shot, and yeah. Just become like this huge
and an open
hanging
mic
out with Elton John and shit like that.
Yeah. I'd love that.
So is that what is next for Sink Your Teeth? Hanging out with Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, a serious question. What is the plan? Because you've got some more dates on this tour. What's the plan? You released an album this year.
Yeah,
the ultimate plan. The whole reason why I got into music when I was 4 years old, well, when I wanted to get into music when I was 4 years old, is because like I wanted to write the theme tune to a Bond film with Idris Elba in the leading role as James Bond. That's my
fucking
plan.
Even when you're four.
Yeah. Wink, wink. No, but that is my fucking goal, definitely. Yes. That's like, and then I'll feel like I've arrived. That's the only thing I want. Well, it's not the only thing I wanted. Jules Holland's would be good.
Oh yeah, yeah, I wouldn't mind going on. Well, I'd shit myself, but I wouldn't mind going on Jules Holland or something like that. But yeah, what's actually next? Was probably, hopefully, a load of festivals next year. And
yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, short term. Yeah.
Yeah, short term. Long term, yeah.
Bond theme tunes.
Bond theme tunes. Yeah.
We've got Jules Holland and lots of festivals.
And a platinum selling album or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although we don't want to be like Ed Sheeran.
No.
Well, I'll be sure to at Jules Holland on Twitter when this goes out.
Yeah, just don't mention Gang of Four.
And so who as well, like, right now, would you most love to play a show with?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say Bowie, but he's not around anymore, is he?
New Order.
New Order would be good. Yeah, yeah, if you're listening, guys.
Yeah.
For further information on Sink Your Teeth, go to sinkyourteeth.com or Twitter @SinkYourTeeth.